So right now I've got everybody on mute, and we're going to officially start right now. Welcome to the Power Hour, and I'm very excited to be here with you guys today. You know, this is the beginning of May, and in some parts of the country it's starting to get a little bit warmer, and some parts of the country it should be warmer, and it's getting a little chilly. So just want to remind you guys a few things about the call and the purpose and what we're going to accomplish. You know, the purpose of this call is to do a few things. Number one is to help you and to coach you on anything that you might need help with. So this is, you know, the value you're going to get out of this is really dependent on how much you participate. So make sure that you participate. If I ask you, like, what are you dealing with, any challenges, let me know and we will talk it through. And I like to take whatever question you ask and massage it so that way everybody will get value. Even if that specific question might not apply to them, I'll do it in such a way that everybody will get value. In order for you to unmute yourself, in order for me to hear you, what you would do is hit star 7 on your keypad, wait about a couple of seconds, it's a delayed, and then I'll be able to hear you. So star 7 one time, and that will take you off mute when you need to ask me a question. In addition to this call, is, you know, every month I put together a magazine for you that has some really great stuff that you can use in your business, whether it's scripts, checklists, dialogues, ads, etc. And this month, I gave you some really incredible things that you can use in your business with buyers, with sellers. Now, just to remind you how you get access to the magazine is you have to go to the Power Program website and you sign in first, okay? And once again, that website is thepowerprogram.com, thepowerprogram.com. One other thing is we just put this together, I think it was maybe in the last 60 days, so it's pretty new, is that we created that Facebook group that we're starting to just play with to see how well it's going to work. You know, if I have something that I want to give to you quickly, I want to give you some bonus material, instead of uploading it to the website, the Power Program website, we're putting it on the Facebook page. But also, I want to use the Facebook page as an opportunity for you guys on a social media standpoint, if you will, that you can network with each other, you can ask questions. So we don't have a lot of power agents participating in that group right now. But, you know, I like you to, the more people that get involved with that group, the more value it'll be. So we'll see how that goes. We'll keep it going for, you know, a few more months. And if I don't think it's helping you or valuable, we'll just get rid of the group. Just to remind you, the Facebook group page is facebook.com/groups, GROUPS, /power agent. So that's how you get to the group. You can also ask me questions there, ask questions amongst yourselves, and so that's what we've got. Okay, so with that said, what we're going to do is I'm going to start. I got an email from one of the power agents, Peggy Shove, are you on the call right now? If you are, hit star 7 on your keypad and do that just one time, and I should be able to hear you. So, Peggy, are you on the call? Is that you, Peggy?
It is.
Hey,
hi.
Peggy. How you doing?
I'm good. I didn't think I was going to make it, but then I realized I could listen while I'm driving. So
yeah, I'm very happy that you did. All right, so Peggy, you know, your email, why don't you tell everybody where we saw each other, what's been going on since I saw you, and then ask me your question, okay?
I met you about a week ago in Meriden, Connecticut.
Yep.
And knock on wood, I'm busy. But I have used some of your analogies, and, you know, I feel like I definitely learned even in that three-hour class. My biggest thing is being able, I guess it's called time management, but being able to shut it off sometimes because,
yeah.
You know, last night I woke up in the middle of the night and all I could think about were all these deals. So, you know, I need to be able to learn how to shut it off is what I'd like.
All right. Well, Peggy, that's a great question. And there's a few things about that. First of all, some of the most successful agents I've met, they really can't turn it off. because it's in their blood. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm still going to answer your question as far as how to manage your time better. But I just want you and everybody to understand is that I'll never forget when I first got into real estate. Well, I was in real estate already for a couple of years, but when I met my second broker, I had two brokers in my career. The second one, his name is Mac Levis. And I'll never forget what he said to me. And he was really, really super successful. I mean, Peggy, he opened up his own real estate company after only being licensed like 2 years. Just incredible. And he said to me that when you are in real estate or when real estate gets in you, you're kind of like a doctor. You know, a doctor never turns it off. A doctor is always a doctor 24/7. I mean, they may not go to their job, but once you become that, you are that all the time. That might be said about lawyers, too. So, you know, we're hanging out with some top agents in the past week, and they business just keeps coming and keeps coming, and they love it. Now, with that said, I thought about your question before the call, and I want to give you a couple of suggestions on how maybe to manage your time better, okay?
Okay.
Which, by the way, Peggy, congratulations. I think we actually saw each other more than a week ago. It might have been a couple of weeks at this point. And I'm glad to hear that, you know, I think what you wrote here, you said, I've been booming with listings and sales since I saw you. So I'm really glad that things are taking off for you so quickly. So the first thing I would say, Peggy, is that it's important that you schedule your personal time first. When you find that you are, you know, you've got real estate in your blood and business is just coming at you, that it's important that you first look at that schedule and pick that day or time where you're going to turn it off, and you need to commit to that, okay? So that's the first thing. Schedule your personal time and stick to it. Now, I don't say that you have to have personal time every day and schedule it every day, although that would be nice. But at least pick one day where you're going to say, I need to turn it off this one day. I know this loan officer who's very successful and very successful. But listen to this, Peggy. He doesn't work on the weekends. He doesn't work Saturday. Wow. He doesn't work Sunday. He turns it off. Now, you know, in our business, that's probably one of the biggest times that we want our buyers to be able to talk to a loan officer. And but that's
right.
How he does. That's how he does it, because he's married, he's got a family, and he commits to that, and that's it. Now here's the interesting thing: the more people, the longer he kept to that schedule, the more people, the other agents who are giving him business has accepted his schedule. So now they've all been trained. They've all been trained. Listen, if you want to get a hold of so and so, it ain't going to happen until Monday. Now, from Monday to Friday, he'll give you 100%, but just forget about Saturday and Sunday. So that's the first suggestion I have for you. The second thing is scheduling some prospecting time. You know what? When we start increasing our business and we're having buyers, and we're moving in that time of year right now on a national level, that sales are going better in most parts of the country. More buyers are going to be coming out. And it's going to be easy for some of us to forget about building our listing inventory and prospecting. So make sure that you keep those certain days and times when you're going to pick up the phone and do some prospecting. Because, Peggy, when you have listings in your inventory, it'll be easier for you to take personal time off, because while you're taking some personal time off, you've got other agents showing your listings. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The third thing is, you know, I was talking to an agent this week that they've got this listing that every time that somebody wants to see it, they have to, you know, drive over and let the agents in. And I'm like, man, you can't do that, because now a listing that you have, this one listing, becomes more of a burden than anything else. So you want to be careful.
Right, you've got one of those.
Yes, you got to be careful of those. You got to be careful that when you do get a listing, you set it up where it's not going to be a tremendous drain for you. Now, there's a couple of options that agent could have done with this. Number one is they could have had a strong conversation with the homeowner about the power of a lockbox. That's number one. Number two, they could actually, if the homeowner didn't want a lockbox, they could work with an office that's really close to that home. and give that office the key and ask if they would work with you or with this agent to open up that house. Now, and I'm not talking about a co-op, you know, an office that is part of the same franchise. It could be a totally separate company. It could be a competitor. You know, one of the things that we've done that I used to do is if we gave a key to a competitor and we asked them, listen, do you mind holding this key that people can come pick it up to show it? We would throw some money their way for that headache. The other advantage to that office, if they ever wanted to show that listing, they already have that key right there then for themselves personally. The third option is maybe scheduling time. If you have a homeowner who says, you know, Peggy, you've got to come over on every showing, you know, unfortunately, that's going to make it harder for people to get in, and so we've got to make sure that we're aggressive on the price. If it's aggressive on the price, it'll sell quicker. The other part of it is scheduling showing times, saying if I have to show people the house every time that an agent wants to, I got to go over there every time an agent wants to see it, that perhaps you, Peggy, say, you know, we can only show the property certain days at certain times, so that way you're not sporadically running over there throughout the week. Does that make sense?
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, that's not the best option, but I'm trying to just give a whole bunch of ideas when you have listings that are high maintenance. Now,
right.
Last two things, Peggy, is, and I'm saving the best for last for you. The third thing is, I was working with a friend of mine this weekend who's doing an open house. So I actually went to the open house. We were going to hang out a little bit. So we were driving over together, and I was just there to hang out with him, actually. And what was interesting to me, I started thinking it was bringing a lot of things back for me as an agent. And one of the things that I realized is that we are only as good as our last sale. So meaning that unless you have listings, unless you have buyers, unless you have sales, even if you have a good month, let's say you have 4 sales in 1 month, hooray, isn't that awesome? But you're only as good as the last commission check. So it seems like we always have to be working with buyers and showing property and building listings. It's never ending. There isn't a cash flow of steady money coming in. And this is why it's important. The most successful agents I know also invest in real estate. So I want you all to keep that in mind, too, is that if you can just add maybe one investment property to your portfolio once a year, and if that even if that was breaking even every month, by the time you get to retirement, the equity, the increase, you'll have a retirement fund, so you don't have to keep working from commission check to commission check. The last suggestion, the best one I have for you, Peggy, is there's a software mm-hmm. that I use to manage my time. And it is incredible. And it's a weird name, Peggy. It's called NOZBE.
Okay.
NOZBE. NOZBE.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me tell you what this sucker does. This thing, what you do is you create categories in your life. So let's say you have, you know, your personal, you have your health. That could be together, so you can make up whatever categories you want. Then you have your real estate business. You can break down your real estate business, say listings, new listings, prospecting, current listings, buyers. And what you do is, so imagine almost like, I'm trying to see how to visually communicate this. Let's say that every category was a file cabinet, and in each file cabinet was your to-dos. So in one file cabinet prospecting, you've got a bunch of different to-dos that you want to do. Call FSBOs, place an ad, do a mailing, et cetera. Then you have another file cabinet that is, you know, buyers. You've got to, go through your buyers, clean them up, make buyer appointments, et cetera. So what happens is you've got all of your to-dos in all these different categories. Are you following me so far, Peggy?
Yes.
All right. Then what you do is you look at each one of those file cabinets and say, all right, I got 10 to-dos in here. Which is the most important thing I have to do next? So not all 10. Just give me what's the one that I got to do now. And then what you do is you put a star on that one. And then you go to the next file cabinet and you say, all right, I got 7 to-dos here. Which is the next most important thing? Put a star on it. So let's say 10 file cabinets. Mm-hmm. each one has its next important task to do with a star. So now you have 10 stars, one from each category. Are you still following me?
Yes. Yes.
Then the software shows, all right, show me all of the stars that I have to do. So when you click on that, it takes all of those individual tasks from each one of those folders to show you, here's the 10 things you have to do in the next day or two. And so instead of you getting overwhelmed with all your tasks and all the things you have to do, it helps you stay focused. At least each one of those categories, you're at least doing one item that needs to be done in your business. I love this. It's an awesome, awesome tool, and that's what I recommend, okay?
Okay. I'll look into it.
All right, great. Did I help you, Peggy?
Thank you.
Did I answer your question?
Yes, thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, so thanks for that. Who else has a question, something that you need help with, you want to ask me, hit *7 on your keypad one time, and I'll be able to address it with you. So who's got a question, something you need challenge with? If not, I will go to the magazine. So anybody have any questions or comments you need help with? Anybody hit *7 one time? All right, so no one yet. So here's what I want you to do, gang. I need you to think about if you're going to ask me something that you need help with, this is your opportunity to do that. Now, while you're thinking about that, I'm going to jump to the magazine. In this month's magazine, I want to tell you some of the great things that we have. This month, we interviewed Sue-Ann Sylvester, and she did a great job in this interview. And so we transcribed the interview, we put it in the magazine. She gave us some promotional things that she's been doing to promote her business. And there's three great flyers that she has. And I want to jump to one flyer on page 23. Now, if you're driving, you're listening, don't pull over and try and get online and look at this magazine. Just make a note of it. Sue-Ann Sylvester, on page 23, there's two things I want to point out what's great about what she did. Number one is she's got her own website. You know, she bought a domain, and I think it's in New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken. Sue-Ann, are you on the call, darling? If you are, hit *7 on your keypad, and that'll take you off mute. Just do it one time if you're on the call. But She created her own website called lovemountainlakes.com. Are you there, Sue-Ann? I think you are, yes?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how are you, hon?
I'm great.
All right, good.
I'm great.
Now, Sue-Ann,
thank you, Darryl.
Yeah, Sue-Ann, since you and I did this interview, which was many months ago, you know, it seems like many months ago, you've actually changed companies, haven't you?
I did, yes.
All right. So just so people know, because in the magazine we have your older company there, but if they go to lovemountainlakes.com, would they find your new company? Is that right?
They will, yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And that's an advantage of having your own website, too, I guess. So if something changes, your cell phone changes, or some contact information, it's still there. So, you know, Sue-Ann, the one thing that you did, and we put it in the magazine that I really loved, is the to renovate or sell, that is the question. And you did this thing that was like almost like a help article. You know, love it or list it was the heading of the flyer. And just, gang, let me tell you something. You got to see this page 23. It, number one, it's a great layout. It has a nice photo. It's like that photo of that house, I want that family room. It looks beautiful. Then you've got the little mini tip about should I renovate my house and stay, or should I just say the heck with it and sell it and go buy something else. So, again, what Sue-Ann did, if you put this little tip, if you will, in this flyer, and then there's her contact information, beautifully laid out, number one. Number two, great value. Number three is this piece could be used as a mailing piece. This piece could be used as an ad placed in a magazine or a local publication. So, gang, I think Sue-Ann sharing this page 23 by itself has so many useful values. So, Sue-Ann, thank you so much for sharing that. You did a great job on the interview. Everybody, you can listen to Sue-Ann on the interview. on the Power Program website. You can listen to it and download it, etc. All right. Now, the next thing I want to jump to, gang, is on page, I think it's 26. Oh, I got my page numbers all messed up. Give me a second here, gang. Let me just double check that. And Power Agent Magazine, and we're going to go to 26 because I just realized we had a technical challenge. Yes, page 26. Now, those of you who have been with me before in my live seminars, you've seen me talk about why homeowners do not save money selling on their own. And I've given a lot of tips on how to do that, a lot of analogies. But this one that I've done is the Kelley Blue Book analogy, and I gave you the actual slide in the magazine this month, page 26, that gives an example of buying a car through a dealership versus buying the same exact car from an individual selling it, and the individual selling price is 10% less than the dealership price for the same exact car. Now, I gave you a sample of my my Escalade in the slide, but everybody on this call, this is very powerful. If you can, oh, let me give you guys a tip in case you don't know this. This is really kind of basic tech thing, but if you see something on your computer screen and you want to use it, you can, instead of buying software to try and capture your screen, if you just hit that button on your keypad that says print screen, it saves your screen in memory. And then let's say you open up a Word document or PowerPoint or Publisher. If you go to edit paste or, edit paste, it'll paste whatever you printed in the virtual memory. It copies your screen in the memory. Now, if you were to go to KelleyBlueBook.com and you were to take your car, punch in the information about your car, and post it, I'm sorry, you just got a little note here, gang. Go to KelleyBlueBook.com, type in the information about your car, and make believe you're going to buy your own car. It's going to ask you, you're buying the car privately, you're buying it from a dealership, you're going to get two different prices, and you're going to see the dealership prices more money. Point being is that for the same exact car, when we buy things from a dealership, from a business, from a company, it's less risk, so we pay more. When we buy privately, we expect a better deal. FSBOs are the same thing. When a FSBO is selling their own property, the buyer's going to pay less than if they bought the same exact car as if they went to a dealership. Now, or to an agent, I should say. On page 27, there is this great visual that one of our students has used, and you can actually white out the center of this ad that she's done, put your own contact information, and it's a cute cartoon. Really, just the ladies would use this because it has a picture of a lady, and it shows all of the different things that we do as realtors. It is overwhelming. It's a great visual. It's a great justification that what we do is much more than just show property or do public open houses. Love that visual on page 27. And 27. And then on 28, we've got another great, great letter that I gave you guys. It's a thank you letter that you can use for your appointments, after your appointment, after you work with a buyer. Now, this came from a doctor who sent this to me. I loved it. So you just tweak the letter to apply to your situation. Great letter. There's a postcard on the next page. Let me just double-check these page numbers here. Yes, page 20, this one's 29. Landmark Realty, they sent out a postcard that says, we'd like to thank our customers and clients for making us number one in home sales. And then it shows in the last 6 months, here's the addresses of the properties we participated in. Now, let me just tell you something. This stupid little postcard, it's not stupid, but because it's so simple, it's awesome. We would like to thank our customers and our clients. The postcard is sending out to the area of the town. We're letting you know we want to thank you for making us number one. I love that. I think that's very simple, very great marketing. And then what they did is they actually, to give credibility to that, they actually listed the houses that they participated in. Now, let me share something with you about stats. Gang, when there's almost every office in every market can be number one in something at some point. So, for example, you might be number one, you individually, or your office might be number one based on the number of sales that you had the last 30 days. Maybe it's the last 60 days. Maybe it's the last 2 weeks. Maybe it's the total dollar volume that your office has done in 30 days or 60 days or 6 months. Maybe it's the average days on market for your office versus the average for the Board of Realtors. Maybe it's the average sales price to list price ratio. My point here, gang, is that when you're looking at your numbers, you can usually tweak them with integrity. So I'm not saying to lie, but looking at a certain time frame, looking at certain specific stats, you can be number one in something. And so I love that postcard. I thought it was a very powerful postcard. I wanted to share that with you. And let's jump to, this is on page 31 in your magazine. There is a 45-day marketing plan explanation and agreement. Let me just read a few of these things for you. It simply has five bullets. Let me just read three. It says that if a property does not sell within 45 days, $500 will be credited back to the homeowner from the listing agent's commission. Now, here's what this is. We're promising the homeowner that if we don't sell it in 45 days, which you can say 30 days, 60 days, whatever you want, that we will give back to that homeowner $500 out of the listing agent's end at closing. Now, some of you are like, well, why would I ever have that? Why would I promise that? Here's why. If you've got a listing that you're trying to get, it's important, you want to advertise that you guarantee you're going to sell the property in a certain amount of time, that's what this is for. But if you look at the next bullet, it says selling the listing, the seller and the listing agent must mutually agree upon the price that they anticipate will sell within the 45-day period. So this guarantee would only apply if the homeowner lists it at the price that you recommend based on the 45-day time frame. And the last thing is that the listing is withdrawn. The seller can't go relist with somebody else or a new agent for 90 days after if they withdraw the listing. So there's another way to lock in the relationship. So there's a great amount of things on page 31. On page 32, which I love about this, and let me say, I think I gave you two here. Yeah, 32 and 33. These are two examples of just summarizing to a homeowner, here's what you promise you're going to do in the next 30 days, 60 days. It's, you know, when we go on a listing appointment, we share so many things that we want to do for a homeowner. And we're going to do public open house and broker's open house and all the stuff that you might share. And sometimes it can become a little overwhelming and confusing. And what I love about page 32 and 33 is it puts it very simple, succinctly, in a one-page flyer. You know what, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, here's a summary of what I promise I'm going to do for you. Now, what I've done is I've seen some agents, which is an example on page 33, that you can actually sign this and give it to the homeowner. Now, you can use this on new listing appointments, but also you can use these in let's say, an expired listing situation. Sometimes an expired listing, a homeowner feels burnt. They feel like maybe the agent didn't do everything that they said they were going to do. So what these samples can do is tell a homeowner, listen, I'm going to put it in writing. I know you had a challenge before, and this is how I work, is I want to tell you I'm going to keep my promise with you, and I'm actually putting it in writing. So take a look at it. Some of you are going to love, love, love using this. By the way, I want to share something with you that just jumped out at me. So when I was, with my friend at this open house situation this weekend, these buyers came through, and I was just hanging out. I couldn't help myself. I started talking to the buyers a little bit, and I said something to the buyers that I've been teaching, and for realtors to share with buyers. And these buyers are in contract, and they have to buy a house, and they've been looking at a bunch of houses. They're under stress and pressure to buy something because they're in contract, and they're starting to get overwhelmed. And so I said to them, I said, well, if I can give you some advice, this is something that I've shared with a lot of people, and it seems to make a difference, is that when you try and go into a house and remember all of the different details about each house, you know, how big is this property versus that property, and where the kitchen is in relationship to the house, is it in the back or is it in the front or is it on the side? Like, when you're trying to remember all of these details about a house, it can be very overwhelming and confusing. And what I suggest you do is don't worry about any of that. You know, when you're looking at, because these people, by the way, gang, have seen five houses in one day. I say, you know what you should do when you walk into a house? Look for the feeling, not the details. Meaning, when you walk into the house, does this house feel like you can live in it? Does it feel like this is your next home? Do not worry about the details whatsoever. And now, when you walk into a house and you got that feeling, it's like when you meet the love of your life. When you get that feeling, then you can start to check out the specifics that you want to know about the property and get more detailed about it. But don't worry about the details, because if the feeling ain't there, it don't matter. Well, gang, you gotta think that these. I wish I recorded it, because these people reacted like they just went to a therapy session. The wife said, "Oh my gosh, this makes so much sense what you just said. Thank you, thank you, thank you." She said, "You know, we've seen five houses today, and honestly, none of them gave me that feeling that you're talking about, except for this one." I said, "Well, there you go." So I think they're going to buy the house. Anyway, that's a real important distinction, gang. All right. So I've taught that so many times to my students, especially working with buyers. When you take buyers out, it's important that you manage the emotional roller coaster they're going to go through. So part of that coaching is letting them know, all right, we're going to go look at our houses today, and do me a favor, let's forget all the details, forget taxes, forget square footage. On our first round today, let's just see if any one house talks to your heart, that it feels good, it feels right. Forget the details. Gang, if you do that, you're going to be so much more effective, and I suggest you're actually going to write more contracts a lot easier. All right, going back to the magazine, gang. So that was just a little side benefit. I hope that helped you guys. Page 34 in the magazine, make a note that there is a flow chart that shows a homeowner and shows a buyer, however you want to use this, the process of selling a house and going into contract. Once something goes to contract, these are all... Hang on, gang. I don't know what I'm hearing here. Hang on one second. All right, I know what it is. Hang on one second. That's what that is. Okay, good. Sorry, gang. All right, so we've got that one. That was me for a second. So this is a great visual to show a buyer or a seller that once you sell a house, there's so much more to the process of just finding the buyer. Once it goes into contract, you need to take, there's all of these other steps to make sure it goes from contract to closing. Let me jump to this. I'm finishing up the magazine, gang. I'm going to open up the call to questions, so make sure you've got some questions for me. On page 37 in the magazine, there is an ad. It's an old ad. I came across it. I love it because it shows, it's for buyers. It says, "We make the American dream come true." First of all, I love the term American dream in the ad. It's specific to buyers. And what these folks, these agents did is they say, hey, listen, if you've got past credit problems, or if you're a first-time buyer, or you're looking for new construction, you need special finance. They listed clearly, here's what we're good at. Here's what we specialize in. Here's how we can help you. Great, very simple, powerful ad to attract specific types of buyers. And let me tell you something, gang. When you run an ad like this, see, I personally would also take this ad also on a listing appointment, showing a homeowner, listen, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahan, one of the reasons why, you know, I sell houses on average more than any for sale by owner might is because I have this different technique. When you're advertising your house, you're only advertising your house. But when I advertise like this and I say to buyers, listen, if you're a first-time buyer or you're interested in a new construction order, I'm bringing in so many different types of buyers. And here's what studies have shown is that buyers don't always buy the initial reason why they contacted an agent. They may look for, say, I want a four-bedroom, two-bath house, and they want to buy a three-bedroom, one-bath ranch, or vice versa. So because I have so much more options available to the buyers, I'm attracting more buyers than just you who's advertising just your property. Let me do it this way as an analogy. You know, if you were going to, you know, if you had a shoe store, there's two ways that you can, you know, start a shoe store. You can, you know, go get your own building, your freestanding building on a corner, advertising just your shoes. The second option is you get a store in a mall and do it that way. Now, it'll probably be more expensive in the mall, but there's a reason why that is. See, when you have your own store just selling shoes, the only buyers you're going to attract are specifically buyers who are thinking to buy a shoe. Whereas in a mall, here's what happens. And the reason why they charge more money in a mall, as far as square footage rent, is because there might be, let's say, a lady who will go to the mall to buy a dress for an event. She gets the dress, and while she's walking, she says, you know what, maybe I need a new pair of shoes. So what happens is now that shoe store is attracting additional buyers that they wouldn't necessarily have if they were not in the mall. So it's having these other businesses that help the other businesses to make more sales. So when you list with me, because I have so many different things available to buyers, whether it's houses, whether it's tools to help them in the process, you're listing with me in a mall as opposed to you being your own individual store out on your own trying to sell your product. This is why realtors are so valuable. This is why there's so many of us. This is why we've been around for over 150 years, because there's something that we provide for homeowners that works out better for them. Anyway, so that's that. Now, let's see. Let's go to, okay, I love this. So what I did for you guys is I gave you this article I found, and I pulled it out in Distinctive Living, Seven Kitchen Design Mistakes to Avoid. Now, this is an old article, but what you can do, the content is still awesome. This article is so simple. This could be, you know, one of the mistakes that I see agents do is they, whenever you place an ad or you do a mailing, it's important that you also say to people, like if you do a mailing about just listed or just sold, it's important that you just don't put your phone number. It's important that you give some kind of call to action to say to people, listen, you know, here's the properties that I just sold. So you do that mailing. And in the PS, you like, if you're interested in a free report on the seven kitchen design mistakes to avoid, you know, please email me. Please call me. I'd be more than happy to get it to you. If you're thinking about selling or staying and you want to renovate your house, avoid these design mistakes. There's another one that I gave you. Where is it? For the dream kitchen and bath, there's another one. I love this one, 10 tips for creating curb appeal. It's one sheet. It's one flyer. So these are value-added things that you can top 8 secrets of professional decorators when it comes to, you know, getting a property ready to sell. So I've given you four different call to actions that you can advertise to, instead of just advertising your just listed, just sold, to make people call you to get these value-added things. They're called, actually in marketing gang, they're called lead magnets. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to open up the call. So that's it for this month's magazine. Tremendous amount of stuff in there. And don't forget, on the website, gang, you can go to archives. You can see other magazines from other months. But like I said, just pick one or two things from each magazine and implement it into your business. Okay, with that said, does anybody have a question, something you need help with, a challenge? This is your time. You're going to hit *7. On your keypad, and that will take you off mute, and I'll be able to hear you. You can ask me a question. I see Marty Sorrentino. You just you're on the call. Hi, Marty.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. So, what's up, man? What can I do to help you?
No, everything's good. I mean, I'm just, you know, I think I, as well as everybody else listening, is probably overwhelmed by all that wonderful information that you gave us, and the heads are spinning. So, I'm just trying to say, you know, if you find one or two things that really work and, you know, try it, you know, the old saying, keep it simple, you know. And one of the greatest things I think that most agents forget is they are really are more of secret agents than real estate agents. And that being said, if you've got a badge that's got your company name on it, You should be wearing that anytime you're out in public. Or I used to have a jacket. We're getting new jackets now with the company emblazoned on it, like a light jacket. So I'd be out in the food store, you know, picking stuff up for the wife, and then, oh, you do real estate, you know. Most people like to talk to people that are in real estate because they're always curious about how the market is.
Yeah.
And I think some simple things just as that is don't make yourself out to be a secret agent. I'm not talking about getting the whole car full of decals and, you know, those big things they put on there, you know, signs galore with lights.
Right. That's awesome.
The bottom line is just let everybody know what you do. And just be committed to what really it's all about. You know, we serve, Daryl. We serve. And the people who
absolutely
serve have to be home and stay in the serving business, and it's not about the money, you know?
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate that very, very much. Thank you. It's always good to talk to you. All right, so somebody else, if you have a question that you need help with, some coaching, something that you're struggling with, you want to ask me, this is now the time. If not, I have plenty of material I can share with you, but I want to see if anybody has something specific that they need help with. This is going once, going twice. You hit *7 on your keypad one time. Let's see. All right. Well, then here, let me share this with you, gang. Let me share with you some things about pricing, because when you're going on listing appointments right now, you know, one of the most important things, and I talk about this in my pricing audio CD. I know so many of you have our library of CDs, and so let me just talk specifically about pricing. You know, the homeowner, as you've heard me say, they think they can sell the house at the same price that we do. Homeowners think that if they don't appreciate the real estate or what we provide, it's important that you really sell the homeowner on or get them to see the value of what a realtor does. And 90% of homeowners think that all we do is do public open houses or, you know, show property, and that's it. They don't realize that there's so much more that we do to help them get their property sold. So part of you presenting on a listing appointment and getting higher commissions and getting the price that you want is you need to validate that what you do is much more than any homeowner could ever do. One of the things I'm a big proponent is you actually sharing with the homeowner how many hours does it take to even get licensed in the business. I'm going to suggest most of the people on this call, you know, I actually, this is something I've been thinking about too. I was asked by NAR to be on this special committee. I'm going to be going to D.C. to have our first meeting about how do we have kids in college see real estate as a possible career path. You know, I think most kids from going from high school going to college don't think, let me go to college to become a realtor. For a lot of people, being a real estate agent is a second, third, or even last resort choice. But the truth of the matter is that real estate is such a great profession. We make such a difference in the world. Everybody cares about their shelter. Everybody does, even people that don't have it, right? So, you know, part of people looking at our business and having more respect for what we do is to let them know it's not as easy as they think on the surface. And so I think number one is sharing with a homeowner really what does it take to be even licensed in your state. That's number one. Number two is in presenting price to a homeowner. And by the way, I just shared with you that technique about how we're in a mall. And that's an example. The third thing is, one of the things I think that helps homeowners sell their house for more money quicker is that we can, as agents, you know, take three buyers out and show them the house at the same time, which is one of the techniques that I like to teach, that if you say, you meet with, you call three of your best buyers for a new listing that comes out and say, listen, a new house came out, it's pretty hot, I have a few buyers that are special like you are, and I asked the listing agent, assuming it's not yours, if I can do my own open house on this property by invitation only. So there's you and a couple other buyers. I want to come over during this by invitation only open house that I'm going to hold. It's just for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Can you come, you know, this day at this time? So you have these three buyers coming. Let me tell you what's interesting. When you have more than one buyer at a house, like an open house, it creates a feeding frenzy, and people want what other people want. You know, this is very interesting. I've asked this so many times in class, and I always get the wrong answer. I ask, from the agents, I'll ask them, when a buyer asks you, after they've seen a house, how long has it been on the market? So once again, a buyer goes through the house, you're showing it to them, they come out, and they say, all right, so how long has this house been on the market? I'll ask the agents, why do you think the buyer asked that? And usually the agents will say, and some of you are thinking it right now, they ask that question because they want to know if it's been on the market a long time. Maybe the homeowner will be more flexible in the price and they can get it at a better price. And I'm going to make a strong assertion that's not why they ask the question. I believe the reason a buyer asks the question, how long has this house been on the market, is because if the house has been on the market for a long time, that means the public does not like the house. Otherwise, it would have already sold. Now, if I decide as a buyer, I buy this house, when already people don't like the house, then as soon as it becomes my house, people won't like my house. So buyers ask the question, how long has this been on the market? Because if it's been on for a short period of time, buyers want what other buyers want. It's plain and simple. So by taking a house and having three buyers come through at the same time creates that kind of feeding frenzy. The other thing presenting price that I'm going to suggest as a technique is instead of trying to convince a homeowner on the price you think it should sell at, a technique that I really like is that you would take your comps and you would lay them out on the table to the homeowner. So let's say you have 4 or 5 comps, and you've got this one comp that says the house is sold for $400, and then you've got another one that sold for $410, and then you've got another one for $405. All right, so it's all in the low fours. After you show the homeowner the 3 or 4 or 5 comps of properties that have sold, I would then turn to the homeowner and say, now listen, if you were an appraiser for the bank and you are looking at this information, what would you come up as the price for the home? So what you literally do is take the homeowner, put him in, and by the way, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahan, let's keep a couple of things in mind. All of these comps I'm showing you have two things in common. Number one, they sold. Number two, they sold to a realtor. So the realtor brought all of their marketing, all of their expenses to bear to get the property sold at these prices. So now, if you were an appraiser and you looked at these comps, what would you price the property at? So literally what you're doing is you're putting the homeowner in the shoes of the appraiser and having them come up with the number. Now, if let's say the homeowner says, well, based on what I'm seeing here, I think my house is worth $500. Then I probably would say, I'm sorry, can you add, see $500 on the table here. am I missing someone? No, I got $400, I got $405. How do you say $500? Well, because my house is special. Okay, that's interesting. But here's how it works in the world of financing. See, the world of financing is that the appraiser, they're not seeing all of these other houses. They're only looking at the numbers and they're looking at these sheets. They're not getting inside each house comparing each feature. What a bank does, because a bank's going to be investing the majority of the money in the sale of this property, so they have to make sure. You know, buyers aren't just buying it. The bank's buying it, too. As a matter of fact, the bank doesn't see that they're buying it. The bank sees that they're making an investment. And as you know, in the financial world, they want to make good investments, not bad investments. So if a house is worth $500 and we're paying $400, that's a good investment. But if something's worth $400 and paying $500, that's a bad investment. They won't finance it. So how the bank determines whether something's a good investment or not is they look at what has similar properties sold for based on this investment. So they're going to see $400, $405, $415, $407. So based on that, if you were the bank who's going to invest 70, 80% of the investment in the sale, in contract with a mortgage, what do you think is a good number? So that's another technique that I would have. Now, I see somebody actually came off the mute. So who's on the call that wants to ask me a question? I see somebody's unmuted. Am I mistaken?
Hey, Daryl.
Yes.
Hello, Daryl. Hey,
yes.
This is Farrah. How are you doing?
Good, Farrah. How are you?
I'm good. This is my first time logging into the call, and I've been listening to other tapes previously. But this is really powerful magazine. I love this magazine that you just went over. I've got one question for you.
Sure.
On, you know, the pages, you, especially the marketing guarantee, I used to have that, and I'm seeing some stuff in there. It's very simple, and I like to add it. If I want to use any of the pages from this magazine, is it easy to just, is it a, there's an easy way that I can use the whole slide, or is it?
Yeah, you know what?
That I can retrieve from.
Harry, you know what we're going to do is, you're right, there, what we've been using is the software that, that's designed to make things look like a magazine, but it makes it really hard to, like, you can't download it, you can only print it out. So,
okay.
I just, yeah, but I don't like that because you just asked the great question. So what I'm going to do, Farah, is I'm going to replace the magazine with a PDF, and then you'll be able to download it, okay? So just give me a day or two for that to happen. Log into the website, and you're going to see the PDF replace the magazine, okay? And then you'll be able to really mess around with it, all right?
Oh, that would be awesome. Because I think I've got a great marketing presentation, and I just seem to lost touch or, the, you know, the side of guaranteeing my, my services. You know what I mean? And that's a powerful tool to have, you know. I've got a great presentation where I go over everything what I'm going to do for them, and I leave it with them. You know, it's in the package, but I don't have, like, you know, like 10 pointers, you know, here's the basic stuff, you know, and then sign it off on that. And I love the one where it's based on, where you
No, no, go ahead. No, finish.
They agree on the price? Yeah. No, and I love the tactic on the other page that you mentioned. You know, if you if I feel like I'm guaranteed that I'm going to sell at this price, it's the best way to get them to get to that price, you know, by giving $500 back if you don't sell it, you know, in 45, whatever the time frame, I feel like that, you know, depending on the market.
Yes.
That's a really, really powerful tool.
It is.
It's
and
not just a powerful tool. Yeah,
let me explain to everybody that guarantee. What's really powerful about it is that, and it really does work with, I mean, there's a couple of things. First of all, the concept is, again, is that what Farrah's talking about is that, which is in the magazine, that when you say to a homeowner, listen, I guarantee I'm going to sell your property in 45 days or 30 days. But in order for me to, if I don't, then I'm going to give back $500 out of my pocket, out of my end, and back to you. Now, but in order for that to happen, though, you can't retie my hands. We have to agree on the price that's going to make that happen. Now, if a homeowner is not willing to sign with you at the price that you want to list it at to guarantee that sale, well, then you simply don't offer the guarantee. That's it. So you're not really boxed in. You're kind of forcing the homeowner to work with you, not against you. And, so that's – I'm glad that you like these. And, there's some of these visuals we created this month, that you can just really print them out and use them yourself. So I'm glad. Is that, Farrah, how many listings, you know what, Farrah, I want to point out something to you and everybody else that I did kind of skip over, and let me see where the magazine is. Give me one second, gang. I'm going to give you the page number. There is, you know, one of the things that in the CDs that you have, Farrah, is the servicing listings, getting your listings sold, and if you remember, there's 9 months of letters that you can send to a homeowner who's your listing, you know, telling them, I just did this and I just did that, et cetera. Right? Well, what I gave you in this month's magazine on page 44 is that it's a simple postcard. And this postcard says progress towards the sale, updated as, in other words, gang, what you would do is you can create a postcard that has all of these things that you can do to market the property. And you can mail the postcard to your seller that and with the item checked off that you did that week or in the last couple of weeks. So, for example, if you emailed fellow agents about the house, if you spoke to You did a public open house, and you got so many people. In other words, it's a little report card that you would send to the homeowner on the hard work you're doing to get the property sold. Now, there's an advantage and disadvantage. The advantage is you create one postcard, you use the same postcard all the time, you just fill in the address of your client, and you check off the boxes that apply. That's one advantage. The disadvantage is it's not personalized like the letters that we have in that TV program. But anyway, I just wanted to give you guys another option because I think it's important that we keep our homeowners informed and all the hard work we're doing to get the property sold. So, all right.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I got one quick question for you.
Yes.
If the property is not sold, if we don't agree on a price, you know, sometimes you do have to go with the price that they maybe, you know, 5% more than what we'd like to have it. If they don't agree on a price, what is the right time frame to ask them and have them sign that, you know, if within 2 weeks, if I don't get an offer or a contract, would 14 or 2 weeks would be a good time frame for them to go back and ask them for a reduction? Because, you know, all we talk about always, first 4 weeks is the most critical time for marketing.
Now, Farrah, you just brought out a great question. I'm going to answer it. I want to point something out to everybody else, too. Is if you're going to say something to a homeowner, make sure that they think that you're saying it because it's in their best interest, not in yours. You know, it's simple for a homeowner to jump to the conclusion, oh, you're just saying this because you want a quick sale. You don't want to work hard. You want to make a lot of money for little effort. So it's always important when you're at, if there's anything you're talking to the homeowner, your client, that they can misinterpret it, that you care more about a quick sale for yourself, you need to make sure you address that. So, yes, and you did it just there, Farrah. You said, you know, the best time for a property to sell is really in the first 30 days. The reason why is because when anything comes new to the market, and you think about it, look at the Tesla. The Tesla car, for anybody knows, they have a new car coming out next year in 2017. It's going to be around $35,000, $37,000. And they have sold thousands and thousands of cars with deposits before. And the CEO of the company, Musk, he said they didn't anticipate this. They got slammed with so many people looking to buy this car.
They got slammed with the order.
Yeah, they slam with all those orders, and any of you seen the news. Now, here's part of the reason why. I mean, first of all, it's a great product, so that's number one. But number two is because it's new. When anything, like, totally new comes to the market, that's the best time to sell it at the highest possible price. So you're right, Farrah, and I would say that to a homeowner. So here's what I'll do. If Mr. and Mrs. Seller, if you want to go 5% above what everything is telling us to do, I'd be happy to do that and try that for you. The only concern I have is if we're wrong, we don't want to be wrong too long, because the longer we sit on the market at the wrong price, the more it's what I call reverse marketing. We're actually planting a negative seed in the community of realtors and buyers, saying that we're committed to price, we're not committed to moving, it's overpriced, we're going to help other properties sell that are better priced to ours because buyers are going to compare our house to their the other houses. So, in other words, we have to move fairly quickly.
You're helping the other, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So we need to move fairly quickly to make sure that we are not overpriced. So if what I'd like to do is we'll put it out of the market at this price, but if it hasn't sold or we don't have at least a good offer by, let's say, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, Farrah, whatever you want to say, then we need to agree we're going to drop the price to the price that we're thinking that I'm initially talking to you about. And if the homeowner agrees with that, Farrah, here's what I would do is I'd have the homeowner sign a post-dated price reduction. So at the listing agreement, they would sign the listing for the price that they want, so we'll give it a try. But in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 4 weeks, you already have a price adjustment form filled out with their signature on it, post-dated. Does that make sense?
Yes, that way you don't have to go back and renegotiate with them.
Exactly. And I will tell
you
one other thing, and then we're going to end the call because I realize we're just at that time. The other thing that I did, Sarah, that really, really, really worked awesomely was that my broker's open houses, we always got a big turnout. And the reason why we got a big turnout is because we did certain things that people didn't normally do. You know, we used to call the morning of the event, call brokers. If I were doing it today, I would have agents' cell numbers, and I would maybe send them a text. I'd send them personal emails. I would put it in the MLS. I would have a loan officer, you know, promoting the broker's open house. Like, for me, getting a lot of people to a broker's open house would be crucial number one. Here's why. Because on a listing appointment, Farrah, I would tell a homeowner, listen, here's what we're going to do. What we're going to do is do a broker's open house within the first week of it hitting MLS. And then I explain, Farrah, use an analogy, why a broker's open house is so important. Kind of like a fashion show in New York City, when they have a new line of clothes come out, they have a fashion show, they bring all the other buyers from the other stores, the press is there, they have food, they have alcohol, da-da-da, because they're rolling out a new line of clothes. The buyers from the other stores, if they like what they see, they bring it back to their store to sell it to their buyers. So to me, a broker's open house is like a New York City fashion show, but the only difference is you're the only line of clothes that we're showing. We're not showing a whole bunch of others. You're the featured line, right? So now when they come, Farrah, if I'm talking to you as a seller, is I'm going to have every broker fill out an opinion sheet about the property that's going to ask what do they think about the outside, the inside, what do they think about the price, how long they think it's going to take to sell. I'm going to then meet with you after the broker's open house and show you all this information. Now, if the brokers who have to sell it to the bother buyers, if they tell us that the price is on target, we won't change a thing. If they tell us that the price is wrong, then we need to know that within the first 7 days, not 7 months from now when it's too late. Does that make sense? So we're going to circle back in 7 days after the broker's open house. Now, Farrah, when I did this, if I needed a price adjustment, I got those price adjustments almost always, because now it's not just me. Now it's like 20, 30, 40 broker opinion sheets saying, hey, hello, your house is overpriced, it ain't going to sell. When I did that, almost always I got that price adjustment. You got that?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, that's
okay,
a good way. That's a great way to get it done. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're so welcome, Farrah. Thank you for your participation. All right, gang, so that's it for this month's call. Make sure if you guys have problems getting into the website, the Power Program website, to get the magazine, make sure you talk to my office. Go to the website. The phone number's there. There's a way you can actually chat with somebody, the tech support. Now, listen, don't forget, we don't just help people buy and sell real estate. We actually help them get to their next level. The more people you help, the more money you make. So go out there, serve, and help a lot of people. And I look forward to talking to you on the next call. Thanks, everybody.